listening to Channel Radio.
It's 1 o'clock.
Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, I've come out of exile, Paul Andrews.
I've seen your lip.
Oh, darling. I mean, you know.
What have you done?
Well, I'm just a
You've got herpes or something.
I'm run down, aren't I? Do you know what? Hermes.
Hermes.
I'd rather have Hermes.
Well, they've changed their name, the delivery company.
Have they? What are they now?
Oh, Avita or something.
Not we knock and run away and then you...
No, exactly. That's why they changed their name, because we gave them such a battering. They now changed their name from Hermes to something else.
Well, you know, I hate to go on about my medical problems.
No, you don't.
But when I had my AstraZeneca batch PV46671.
Yeah, yeah, that you know off by heart.
Which
yeah.
injured rather a lot of people, and my posse who are listening. Yeah. I mean, lovely.
Hello, posse.
Lovely Wayne Cunnington's listening. He's been banned at the moment by Twitter. He's been suspended.
It's all coming back as when Elon takes over. I'll tell you what, have you been.
But do you want to know why he's been suspended?
No, go
before
on.
You go off on a wild goose chase.
Yeah.
Because we have got vets in the studio.
Yeah.
So I've mentioned goose already.
Yeah.
Ivermectin.
All right, okay.
Which I took and was sent by a very reputable doctor when I had COVID four weeks ago.
Yeah.
After I had COVID, as you remember, I wasn't too ill. It was like a coldy thing. Not nice, but, you know, not as bad as the jab reaction.
Here we go.
And then I felt amazing after. Do you remember I came in and I said, I feel amazing.
Your mane and everything was all better, was it?
Yeah, and my teeth and my bushy tail and everything.
And you know, no horse worms or anything?
No worms whatsoever with the ivermectin. It clears your blood, you know.
Yeah, apparently.
Anyway, so let me tell you before you start rattling on. I think it was my T cells kicking in. Tim, do you know about T cells? I'm going to ask you later. So my T cells, so my body rallied, my immune system rallied as it should, and then I've had this relapse 3 weeks later.
You crashed and burned, didn't you?
Yeah, which is the same, the vaccine there, so I got the numb face again and all the jabs and very nasty head.
Anyway, we were talking about your mate getting banned by Twitter.
Yeah, for writing ivermectin, because we all got confident.
Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, have you been following Elon Musk? You know, he's offered to buy it and they've accepted his offer.
Yeah.
But just to clear this up, he hasn't bought it yet, so nothing's changed.
And yet people were thinking it had already changed. We were getting bold and brave and saying what we wanted.
There's not even a guarantee that they'll... All that's happened is the board of Twitter have recommended the sale.
Ivermectin.
They've recommended the sale, and now it's up to the shareholders to sell to him, and they haven't agreed to do that.
Really?
But the interesting thing is following Elon's Twitter handle.
I will. I followed him.
No, he's just got some brilliant tweets, some really, really brilliant tweets that just make you laugh.
I was reading that Twitter, maybe because of him, because there have been a lot of changes as they've talked about it, haven't there? So there's been, you know, which is why Wayne Cunnington, hello Wayne, if you're listening from your little deathbed in the garden after your AstraZeneca, I'm so sorry. Hope you get better soon. He can't work, you know, he's an IT specialist. I keep getting him round because my Mac's
going
up.
Come on, every week we go on about this.
But as I was saying, what was I saying?
I have no idea.
You see, you've interrupted me.
Good.
But Wayne got bold and wrote something about ivermectin, and which we all know helps. They use it in South Africa. They use it in
India.
Anyway,
he got banned. Yeah.
He got suspended.
Yeah.
But the awful thing is, he has no idea when it's been a week, and they don't tell you. He says, "I don't know."
No, but that was the whole thing, isn't it? That's what all the controversy's been about. Is that they don't disclose their algorithm.
And the reason
they don't tell you why they've banned you, and they don't tell you what's going to happen next, and they don't reply to you, and that's what annoys people.
It's horrible not knowing, and I feel very sorry for him because it's a lifeline. Luckily, I had his phone number. Mm. But the other thing is that I was talking to Ken Herron, in Florida. Ken Herron on the Twitter, at Ken Herron, does what it says on the tin, H-E-R-R-O-N. Just see a lot of animal references going on today with these vets. So wild goose chase, herons.
I'm not playing. Go on.
Anyway, Ken Herron, and I said to him, this new thing about where you can silently vote if you think a conversation
downvotes, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that. I find it very snitchy.
No, I think it's brilliant.
You can just mute someone. That's what I do. I mute you all the time.
It would say, what they need is a nonsense icon. No, they need a nonsense icon. So that instead of getting involved in an argument with an idiot, you just press the thing that goes, that's nonsense, and then move on.
Just silently mute it. And if they really annoy you, you block them.
Yeah.
I think that was a bit snitchy. I didn't like that.
Yeah, no, that's good.
No, I think it's a bit bitchy.
I was part of the trial of that about 8 months ago, and I found it really, really useful.
Did you?
Yeah, because it stopped me getting into arguments. I just went, you're an idiot. Downvote. And that was it.
But they don't know you've done that.
They don't know you've done it, but it made me feel better.
Yeah, but what's the difference between that and a mute?
Well, because you can still see them going on about it, and you think you've made yourself look an idiot now.
Yeah, but if you can still see them going on about it, then you're getting yourself stressed, aren't you? Whereas if you mute them, you can't.
Because every time I do it, I go, downvote.
Paul, you need to get out more, darling.
No, I don't.
Go down the pub.
Why would I go down the pub?
Oh, no. No, he's teetotal. I'd like to introduce our guests.
We've only been on air 10 minutes.
I'd love to, but I don't know all their names properly.
You wrote them down beforehand.
They were only their first names.
Yeah.
Roy Rogers, no, it's Tim really, but, you know, I was thinking of the cowboys and things and horses and, you know, where I'm going with that.
It's no good going on like that. These are young people. They wouldn't know what you're talking about.
Roy Rogers. Well, they might have watched it with, in the olden days, mightn't they?
Nah.
I used to watch John Wayne and things with my dad.
Yeah, but you're old.
Oh, yeah.
They're not.
Thanks for that. Okay, so I'm just getting up the thing, the Twitter.
Shall I tell you who they are while you're doing that?
Oh, yeah, go on then. It's your job after all.
Our guests today are the lovely Patience Ogunbona.
You say it so well.
Yeah.
I'm doing it in order.
She's a transformational coach.
She is indeed a transformational coach.
I think we could do some work with
her. And we're going to be talking to patients first, and we're going to be talking about the Great Resignation and transforming and all the things that are going on in the world of work. And then we're going to talk in the second half of the show to our other two guests, which is Lisa Field and Tim Rogers.
No D in the Rogers, just in case.
I beg your pardon?
No D in the Rogers, just in case you're following him on Twitter. It's at Tim Rogers, no D, Tim Rogers Vet, R-O-G-E-R-S, because our listeners are going to really want to follow him and know all. He's going to be inundated.
And they're from Bobbing Hill Veterinary Surgery.
Yeah, which is near me, actually, not too far for my greyhound.
She needs putting down.
And the show sponsor, of course, is the lovely Telfords, which is my accountant and yours also.
It is indeed, yeah.
Have you met Lisa yet from there? She phoned me up the other day. She's a Northern Ireland lady. She's an accountant. She's lovely. She talked me through some stuff.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I was getting in a bit of a tiz with something. And she talked me through, and she said, oh, don't worry. I can't do Northern.
I was going to say, why did she do a Yorkshire accent when she's from Northern Ireland?
I think I'd have to do Zed cars. I'm trying to think. Yeah. Don't worry, Jules.
No, it's not working.
Was it Mother of God and Jesus, Mary and Joseph and that's donkey?
That's more Wickford, isn't it? It's not Norn.
Oh, well,
Northern Ireland.
If you're going to get technical.
Well, if you're going to do voices, you've got to do them properly.
Anyway, she talked me through, and she was lovely. Yeah. She was very pleasant.
Okay. Right, look, we've got thousands of tweets, and so I need to start ringing them.
Hear from you.
Yeah, lovely folks at Chips and Dinks. The longest bank holiday weekend is officially over, and the Business Bunker's back on to help us over the slump and get refocused. So thank you to Bev and Tony of Chips and Dinks. Victor Perton. Victor Perton, P-E-R-T-O-N, is his Twitter handle, and he's also known as the Radical Optimist. Yeah. And he is tweeting, optimism is a state of mind, not the state of the world. And that's from the centreforoptimism.com. and my lovely friends at Creative Motion, Justin. We'd love a shout out on today's Business Bunker show, please. Justin Dean and the team at Creative Motion, proud sponsors of the Business Bunker show, and they've attached their video they made of us here a couple of years ago, which was lovely.
Tazy, the lovely Tracy Ferguson, is listening in live today. She says, oh no, she's not actually, I'm lying. She says, I very much look forward to catching up with the replay show. I've got a post mentoring call this afternoon. So proud of the lady I've been working with over the past 2 months. She's an absolute star. And you can find Tracy, she's the owner of Plucky's World, on the Twitter. She's at T-A-Z-I-64. She's a personal growth and Prince's Trust mentor. And she, I love her strap line. Her strap line is, the time to do what you love is now.
Absolutely.
And she's based in Rochester. You can follow her on her website, which is pluckysworld.com. That's P-L-U-C-K-Y-S, pluckysworld.com. She's an amazing person. And she gets people off their, you know, where they get stuck, doesn't she? That's what I say.
Exactly, yeah.
What's the word? She motivates people.
Do you mean in a rut?
Yeah, stuck in a rut. And she motivates people.
Yeah. Paragon Drones. Hi, Paul and Jules. We would love a mention on today's show, please. We're really looking forward to hearing about mental transformation and also about how animal care has managed over the last 2 years. And, of course, we're looking forward to the cheesy tune. Well, of course you are.
And
she'll never get it this week, I guarantee. Jules is a maven. She can normally name that tune in one note, but she won't ever get today's.
It's a bit of a shock when you do choose something obscure, because I feel like my, what's it, I feel crestfallen.
You're crestfallen?
Yeah, I feel crestfallen, like a parrot, you know, when a parrot's crest goes down.
Why are you crestfallen?
Like
a parakeet whose crest has gone down. Why do you feel like that?
That's where the saying comes from, you know.
Yeah, why do you feel like that?
Well, when you choose an obscure track just
and you can't get it.
Because I'm known for catching it in the first, you know, it's my misspent youth, isn't it?
Yeah.
Listening to records. I was talking to the new husband over the weekend and... We were saying how much access, you know, I like Spotify, but I've got Alexa.
You like Spotty what?
Spotify.
Like Spotify.
Not Spotty Dog.
Yeah.
Vets, get it. So they're too young to know about Spotty Dog, even, I would think. Was that Andy Pandy, wasn't it?
No.
Who was Spotty Dog with?
It was the Wizentops.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, walk like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like every old dog, really, with arthritis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And strings attached to its legs, obviously.
Yeah. A bit wood. What I was saying was, I was saying to my new husband about, you know, we always play music and stuff, and Alexa is really annoying, as I've said on this show quite a lot. So I'll ask her to shuffle my play. I've got thousands of records, not records, but music on. And I say, shuffle. And she says, I can't do that. And then I say, play my music. And she says, shuffling your music. It's really annoying.
Yeah, but you know why?
Because
your
Alexa, annoying.
Your Alexa system is a mess, because you can't even listen to this radio station on it. Everyone else in the world can listen to the radio station on their smart speaker, but you can't.
I've got four. I think that's the
that's
problem.
Why you've got too many. They all talk to each
I've
other.
I've been round talking.
They all talk about you.
Do you know what she told me this morning? I was getting ready and she said, do you want a nutritional tip? And I said, well, yes, please.
She said, stop drinking.
She said, you know that I avoid grains, right, for my thyroid.
Yeah.
So she said, the NHS, the NHS is now hooked up with Alexa.
Yeah.
The NHS has recommended that you eat more high fibre and start your day with cereals and, you know, high fibre biscuits and things like that. If I did that, I'd be 17 stone.
Well, you'd lose weight.
No. How rude. I mean, in front of these esteemed guests as well.
Oh, no.
You're quite pleased with yourself about
that. I know. Yeah.
You got that face. Yeah. I know you
smug.
So well.
Smug look.
Smug got, from Tenterden.
I got one in. Yeah. Neville Gaunt's been on.
I'll get you back.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. Neville Gaunt's been on. Love a shout out for the GCSE and A-level students that are sitting exams at this time. Yeah, big shout out for them.
He's not at all gaunt, though, is he?
He isn't, no.
He's obviously been eating high fibre biscuits for breakfast.
Of course he has. Luckily, he's in Pakistan, so he can't hear what you're saying.
No. Well, what's he doing? He's mentoring a group, isn't he?
He's mentoring a group of people about the world of work and getting jobs and stuff. So, yeah. So he's interested in what we're going to talk to the patients about, but he's actually presenting right at the moment in Islamabad.
Wow. What's the time zone in India?
It's in Pakistan. I don't know.
In Pakistan, sorry.
I don't know.
I remember when we were in India, we were in Delhi for a conference, and with me and my new husband. It was amazing, and you go, it's very posh and very rich, and you've got, you know, when you're at a conference, and then you go to the back streets and you've got like monkeys swinging down, nicking bananas off the street traders, and that is great. I loved it.
Yeah.
And a lot of smog on that there, though, because I had a balcony. I asked for a balcony. I think you remember I tweeted that I'd asked for a window. I've got a thing about always liking a window that opens. I get weird otherwise. I hate aircon. And I tweeted that I'd requested one and that I hadn't got one. And then the concierge phoned me and said...
They bought a balcony.
Yeah. They said, I think it was the Shangri-La. I forget which hotel. It was a lovely hotel.
I'll tell you what, those Indians, they go the extra mile, don't they? Sorry, madam, you've got no balcony. We'll be with you in a second.
Yeah.
Big ladder.
He phoned me.
Nail it on the outside. There you go. Don't stand on it both together because it's a bit rickety.
But he phoned me and he said, we've seen your tweets. I thought, oh, he's going to arrest me or something. Mm-hmm. It's probably rude. And then he said... we're going to move you to the presidential suite, madame. And we had the presidential suite. But when I opened the balcony, the smog...
You got assassinated.
No, I needed resuscitating because it's thick. The air is thick.
Where was this? In Delhi?
Where did I say I was?
I don't know.
I've lost the plot too. Yeah. And the twat.
The lovely folks at What's On in Kent have been on. They say, we'd love a shout out, please. After bank holiday, there are still plenty of things to do and see around Kent. Find out what's going on around the Garden of England by downloading our app. And we're looking forward to the show. So thank you. Follow them on Twitter. Their Twitter handle is What's On in Kent. And you can find a link to their app there.
It's great as well because it's so nice to have all this stuff going on. Did you mention our friends iTrust Assurance?
Not yet.
Well, they have given us a hello, and they I'll read you out their website, itrust.uk.com, and they are a consultancy, team building, registered trademark. They bring a healthy and sustainable speak-up culture to organisations worldwide. And they've been on the show quite recently.
They have, a couple of times. They have a fantastic speak-up app for whistleblowing. And they manage the whistleblowing process. And they manage it anonymously, if you'd like it.
It's really nice. And he's an ex-policeman, isn't he?
He is indeed.
So he knows stuff.
But when he was in the force, he specialised in whistleblowers and protection of whistleblowers.
And the lovely Lisa Settle on the Twitter, Lisa M. Settle, she says, May greetings, B. Bunker.
May greetings. In May. I see what she did there.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Did you do a little dance around a maypole?
Oh, of course I did.
I thought you would have done.
There's a free up time to make money for your business. This is a seminar that's taking place on Friday the 20th of May at 12:30 to 3:30. It's being driven by the lovely Linda Garcia of Aluxide Consulting.
Yes.
If you're getting sucked into the day-to-day firefighting of your business, finding it difficult to extract yourself out of the detail to work on your business, this is the workshop for you. This taster session will benefit anyone in business who needs to structure their time more effectively between the strategic activities and product service delivery activities. Business owners or senior managers who need to extract themselves from the detail to focus on the bigger picture will achieve greater control over their time. This is an interactive workshop including free workbook to design your IT, your ideal schedule. Discover how to free up time to work on your business. You'll learn what are your business objectives and how do you achieve them, what activities should you be prioritizing, what your time thieves are and how to get rid of them, how to prioritize your tasks and measure progress, define what's your sacred time and how to schedule it as a priority, learn the key principles of time and task management, and design your ideal week and month. And there's a free workbook. To register for this workshop, it's www.eventbrite.co.uk/ Aluxi Masterclass. And that's Aluxi Masterclass. That's with the lovely Linda Garcia.
Yeah, I'm just replying to Sarah Marsh Collins, who was on our lovely show.
Oh, Sarah, she's moving to Devon.
Is she?
Yeah.
Well, she is a lover of dogs, bobbing vets. She has a greyhound and a little spanielly, a working Springer Spaniel. I mean, they're bonkers, aren't they, Springer Spaniels? Lovely, but bonkers. She's got a rescue Spanish Breton as well. Spanish Breton. Hola. Yeah, I didn't know you could get a Spanish Breton. It's got a little stripy top, I expect it wears. But she just said something, and I've lost her now. Where's she gone? I'll tell you in a minute, because I think she's gone.
Well, I'll tell you what.
It's
that time where we play the cheesy tunage.
Yeah, I'm not interested now, though, because you said I won't like it.
I could give you a bit of a clue.
Well, yeah, but I won't get it, will I?
Well, I don't know. What do you think?
It sounds like I Want to Dance with Somebody.
No.
But that's what it sounds like.
It does, but it isn't.
But is it the same singer?
No. Wait until you hear the singers. It might trip you over.
Sounds very 80s. Do a little dance for us.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got to find the relevance to patience.
Yeah. Well, it's the name of the song. It's the relevance. It's Bros.
Bros?
Yeah.
Cool, they sound young. They sound about 9.
It's called I Quit.
Oh.
You see what I did there?
Yeah. Patience won't quit.
Independent financial advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com. Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Loch Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. That was Bross with I Quit. It was a bit obscure, wasn't it?
Well, I must admit.
But I found it because obviously it's one of the things I want to talk to patients about. Mm. So it's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunker Show. But it's a long time since you were on last time, isn't it, Patience?
Yes.
Patience Ogunbona. Patience is a transformational coach and an all-round brilliant lady. So it's lovely to have you back. Thank you for joining us. We kind of want to talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of work at the moment, don't we? Which is a bit bonkers.
Yes, it is. Like the song I Quit, which is very apt for what's
absolutely
happening. Yes.
For those that don't know, I mean, large amounts of people have been quitting their jobs and not going back into the world of work. In the UK, 600,000 people following the lockdown didn't return to work, haven't claimed universal credit, and are just not working. And that has caused enormous problems. So what do you think's going on there, Patience? What do you think is the spur behind it? And it's not just a British thing, is it? I mean, in the United States, even worse, it's over 2 million people in the United States haven't gone back to work, happening right across Europe. What do you think is the impetus behind this?
Well, I guess if I start with a very funny joke one time that I
heard. We don't allow humour on this show, I tell you.
I'll try. So I hope it's funny for those who are listening. Well, basically a mother goes into the room with her son and says, "Son, you've got to go to church. It's time to go to church. You're running late." Then he says to his mom, "I really don't want to go today. The people are boring. The sermon's boring. And really, things are just upside down all over the place." And she said, "Yep, but you got to go. You're the pastor."
I love it.
So basically, I think sometimes you got to ask yourself, who is responsible for this problem? Mm. You know, who's going to own it? I think that's the first thing. And does it actually create a challenge or an opportunity? I feel like it was bound to happen. Change was bound to happen because change came upon us with Brexit.
Yeah.
We're getting used to that. Then you had COVID. And one of the things with COVID was we all said in 2020, "Oh, it's 2020, time for 2020 vision." And that means that, you know, we all wanted to see better and have clarity. That's what we were hoping that was going to bring. But how life works is it gives you the opportunity to see properly by pressing pause, not the kind of pause we wanted with COVID. And people began to look and see the things that maybe before we're just going through the motions and couldn't see anymore. A real pause and introspection. I always say, because I call myself the visionary introverted woman, it was the year of the introverts and introspection. And so over 2 years, people had time to think about what's no longer work-life balance, because sometimes work stopped. It was about life-work balance. And many people decided that life mattered and decided that they were going to pay the price, especially when you're faced with humanity. So what those 2 years did was to help us see humanity and the frailty of humanity. People were dying around people. And it was more like, okay, if I have this chance to live, what am I going to do with my life?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. and I think the biggest salient point that you made there is that human beings are reluctant to change until it's forced on us. And then when it's forced on us, bang, it goes off big time. And I think you're exactly right. I think that's what happened. 11 million people were furloughed. They were working at home, getting paid 80% of their salary, and it suddenly opened their eyes.
And some of them went and got other jobs while they were on furlough.
Yeah, they did, but not many.
Yes.
But I think the big eye-opener was, hold on a minute, I've been wasting my life on a train for 4 and 5 hours a day. I've been wasting my life in an office, you know, going to meetings that never produce anything. Why am I doing this? So you're absolutely right. It was a point in time where people started to readdress where they were and where their work-life balance was. The thing that fascinates me is how long that's going to last before they run out of money. You know, because some people are obviously collecting benefits, but the figures show that the vast majority of people that quit their jobs have not gone and applied for unemployment benefit.
But yeah? Do you think they've lost confidence as well from being at home for so long?
There is that as well. There is the fact that people have now recognized that maybe where they were, because some people think that success breeds happiness, but it's the other way around. Happiness breeds success. And believe it or not, many people can decide to live without a lot of the things that they used to live without just to pay the price for happiness.
Yeah.
And that is what's happening, is that with some of the survey that was done by Deloitte, a lot of women, especially, skewed towards a lot of women resigning because of their mental health, the harassment that they get. And even with the work from home, there is a lot of things that are not working for women.
You're still
in
juggling
terms of, juggling, but also not consideration for how women are doing that juggling.
Yeah.
Or the fact that actually, okay, you can have this, but things are not going to be better for you all round with support or anything like that.
Yeah.
I think one of the key things as well that I realize with all this thing is people feel like managing people is what would make things work. In the past, people would manage people, you know, and get things done.
Yeah.
But with the new way things have been set up now, you've got to lead people, inspire people. You can't manage someone you can't see effectively.
Absolutely.
And you need systems. So there's a lot of people who have lost confidence in the workplace because it's not a growth environment for them. They are willing to focus on the mental health situation that they couldn't focus on before. And strangely enough, from statistics say that if there's flexibility, women actually who were staying at home looking after kids now are the ones actually taking the going back into work to have that balance, to kind of have that adventure as well. It's a kind of interesting dynamic, and all this is saying that you can no longer be a business that is not people-centric. You've got to understand people. You've got to look at the people side of things. People now want fulfillment. People actually want to make progress and achieve goals and visions, and people want to find peace and happiness. This looked like very mushy stuff that is not meant for work, but people are now demanding that for work. That makes it quite challenging.
I mean, we just live in completely different time. In the last 2 years, everything's been turned upside down. You know, as you quite rightly say, you know, our mental health's gone skyrocketing. You know, government force changes on things that have had a fundamental effect on how things work or don't work. And we've now got issues, of course, that there's a downside to this problem as well, which is that there's 1.3 million unfilled jobs in the UK and you can't get staff for love nor money. A lot of industries have been forced to increase their pay, but of course, inflation and the cost of living rise has done away with that already as well. So people are just going, do you know what? Why bother? Yeah, why bother? Why not just not stop buying stuff? Why not just, you know, go to the park?
take the kids out for a walk. You've got to pay your mortgage and your electric and your gas. So how long, like you said before, how long will people last not working?
There was a brilliant story. It was ridiculous. It was a ridiculously stupid story on GMB this morning. With Johnson was on talking to Susanna Reid, and they had a pensioner who could not afford to heat her house. So to keep warm, she bought a daily ticket on the bus, a circular ticket.
Aww.
And she rode the bus round London for 3 hours because it was warm.
Aww.
And you go, you know, that's just bonkers.
It's wrong, isn't it?
It's just bonkers.
What did Boris say?
Do you want to know?
Yeah, I do.
He went, I introduced that ticket when I was London mayor.
Oh dear.
That was his response. Because, you know, I was hearing this morning on the news, patients, the profits made by the energy companies, Shell and all that, are humongous.
Yeah,
there was something like 65 billion whatever.
Yeah, and that's globally, and they made a 50 billion loss last year, so, you know.
Well, they were asking Boris this morning to, I can't remember what it was, tax them or something. What was the tax?
It's a windfall tax, which is just...
But he won't, because he...
Well, of course he won't, because it's stupid.
Well, he said he just wants them... He said it will stop them investing in energy.
No, what it will do, it will put your prices... But companies don't
pay... They'll grab it back in the end.
Companies don't pay tax, you do.
Yes.
The consumer pays the tax, not the company, you do. And our bills are high enough already without a tax on top of it, thank you very much.
Well, I'm sure that pension lady is not the only one. You know, there must be loads and loads.
Of course there are.
Fuel
poverty. You know, we're all struggling. You know, do you want to know how my energy bill has gone from 3,000 a year to 7,000 a year.
Yeah, but you leave your underfloor heating on in August. I've been round yours, and I was shocked you had your underfloor heating.
I've got a gas burner under the.
It's time to switch over the heating. Yeah.
But it's cold, actually. I mean, so far the weather has been quite cold. I'm on the seafront. We have a wood burner, but even logs cost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So we don't have the heating on in our bedroom. So we sit there by our log burner, and then we. Rush down, our bedroom's downstairs. We rush down and scream as we get into bed because it's so cold. But, you know, that's what we're doing at the moment.
You're right.
Coming back to the main thesis that Patience is talking about is that we're living through a radical change and people are starting to rethink everything that they do. Yeah, for the reasons that we've just said, because the cost of living is going through the roof, so people are going, do you know what, we need to reorganise our lifestyle in a different way. People have experienced not having to go to work, so you've got this flexibility thing that came along of people working from home. But of course, there's a downside to all of this as well, which are mental health issues and lack of sociability issues. You know, there are just so many things all happening at once that have just been thrown at people. So what do we do? How do we start to find our way through this, patience?
I think the first thing is recognizing that during the pandemic, what people did was actually some people formed a saving habit. So there were people who became better off. I'll take, for example, my son, who, like you said, no more train rides, and that was £800 a month.
Yeah.
So when you think about that, it's incredible. So he wasn't going in, and then you have maybe like £50 a week for lunch. He was having lunch at home. So he put that money aside. And that for some people would have meant that they would have a way of looking at things. What else can I do? And again, a lot of business went online. So a lot of people who in the workplace, when I was in the corporate world, one of the big challenges that always I had was not being able to fulfill my full potential, you know, being blocked, people thinking that personal development, you know, there's the training about skills and there's personal development. There are two different things. The skills element gets you to do the processes. The personal development actually gets you to think and strategize, and actually that is can be far more greater benefit.
Sure.
So many people turned to entrepreneurship, for example, and were able to fund that from some of the savings they had. Yes, we do have challenges going forward with how would people afford to live. But again, you know, the Harvard Business Review did a survey, and they said that some of the myths that employers hold on to that is actually needs to be debunked are things like you can retain employees by simply just increasing the money you offer or bringing in promotion. And like I said before, no amount of money can buy happiness for some people.
Yeah.
And if they are not growing, they are not developing, and the mental health is suffering, you just have somebody who is coming to work every day calling in sick.
Yeah.
So in the end, that's not working. The other one is the era of lifetime jobs is no longer there. People are moving around, especially for the younger generation. They're hopping around, looking for the best person with the best benefits. With the So basically, if you're not building an environment of growth, one of the phrases that says, train them and they would leave. Don't train them and they might stay. So the ones you're left with are really the people that are not looking to progress. They don't care about your lack of personal development opportunities. What do you get for your company? You are in trouble because then you're not developing. On the other hand, the people that are more progressive would then poach the people that really looking for what they have to offer. And I guess the third one that they mentioned was employees leave because they are no longer happy. That's not true. They actually sometimes leave because there's a better offer on the table. So you've got to look at all the combinations, and they talk about what they call employee value proposition. What's your employee value proposition that would keep your employees excited? So I say that we have the great resignation, but it's an opportunity for the great retention. And maybe the great, attraction. How can you make yourself more attractive to the people that you want to employ? How will you bring them in? How will you help them to stay? How will the environment really nurture them? I talk about the win-win approach. You want something, they want something. And Steve Covey always says, if you do the win-win approach, I win, you win. It takes longer because we all are in the relationship journey.
Yeah, absolutely.
It might take longer for people to build those people-centric culture. It boils down to your culture and what exactly that culture is representing for people, both internally and externally.
Yeah, absolutely. Something you said right out front there has sparked a memory for me about money. Back in the 50s, a chap called Frederick Hertzberg, who was an industrial psychologist, coined a thing which he called the hygiene factor. And what he said was, paying people more money is not a motivator, it's a hygiene factor. And you can prove this quite easily. If you go along, what he did is he wrote to some employees and he said, oh, you've had a $500 pay increase. And then the next day he went, oh, sorry, it wasn't meant for you. He said, and the demotivation of taking something away that they never had was greater than the motivation of giving them something they never had. And any uplift of a pay rise lasts days or weeks and no longer. Yeah. And then it becomes a norm because you're absolutely right. Especially now, what people are looking for is a holistic approach to work that has a lot of factors in it. That lead them to being where they are. Now, that can depend on where you are in your life cycle. So younger people are looking for growth and
Meaning.
And meaning and ambition, absolutely.
Yes.
Years and years ago, I used to work as a motivational speaker. I actually spoke with Stephen Covey. On a platform, yeah. Sharpen your saw.
I love that.
Yeah. And the interesting thing about all of that and the growth and everything that people want to experience is it's different. Different people have different ambitions. And one of the problems that we've always had in trying to manage people is we try to manage people as if they're all the same. If you see what I mean, so we offer carte blanche, he goes, oh, well, you can all work 9 to 5, or you can all work this, or you can all do that, or you can all get this, and we have collective bargaining and all the rest of it. But some people need to earn more money. Some people need to earn less money. Some people want to develop their skills. Some people are quite happy doing what they do. But we used to have a thing about the 7 motivators of people at work, and a sense of belonging was right near the top. Yeah, a sense of meaning in what you're doing. You guys, Lisa and Tim, I'm sure in the kind of work you do, you see that more than anything. Because of veterinary work, looking after animals is a vocational thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
People that work in that business have a love of animals, basically, even if they're allergic to them. So you get that sense of meaning and purpose in the work that you're doing, because of the nature of the work you're doing. And I would hazard a guess, I don't know, but I would hazard a guess that anybody that works for you is attracted to work for you for that ability to interact with animals that gives them that sense of purpose.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. And you hit on something that I mentioned a couple of, I think 2 weeks ago to someone, and I said, people don't leave businesses or organizations. They actually leave people.
Yeah.
So it's like when you have relationships that break down, people are not moving out of the house. They are moving away from the person from they
you,
don't want to be with. It's the same thing. What's happened is there's been a relationship, there's been a communication, there's been a leadership breakdown. Mm. That is what is causing people to actually say, I can't take this anymore.
This is where we're going wrong.
You know, so that is one element of it, that people just feel like, I cannot cope with this person. And many times, organizations would have the top-down approach of flowing through with the vision and the mission. Where it falls down is the person that is translating that to your employees. Mm. If they are not buying in properly, or they are bringing in their own behaviors, that's an issue. The second thing I talked about that time was, as you well know, I call myself the visionary introverted woman, and I spend my time educating people about introverts. I feel like 2020 was the year of the introvert, because it was like, phew, finally, the world is quiet, the world is slower, I can cope. And I said, imagine an introvert who used to be in an open plan office.
Yes.
And they struggled with the noise, they struggled with the light, they struggled with, you know, people and everything. That was all me. And imagine having this 2 years where you are in control of the light, you're in control of the sound, you're in control of the access to people.
Yeah.
One thing that even comes across is, many would tell you, and I've spoken to many, migraines. So if you now don't have any of that, would you want to sign back to work? No, you would think, I want to keep that control of my life.
Yeah, yeah.
So I said, people don't factor in personalities and their strengths, the kind of what makes one person tick over the other.
Yeah.
Things like communication, it's become so important. The way people handle communication across different personalities, it differs, and that is what also affects work from home. Some people need more detail when you write, some need less. You know, people now have to say, the people element of my business matters more than ever. It's not the processes and the machines.
Yeah.
And if I work on my people, the rest follows, and then productivity and profitability will happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. It's taken this unusual situation to bring that out and to bring it. I'm not sure that we've actually coped with it yet and have fully taken it on board yet, but you're absolutely right. Just talking to people about, you know, from my in my day job, I run Jobs in Kent, which is a recruitment portal, and we're struggling. Like, we've got 11,000 local jobs, and, you know, we just can't fill them. People just don't want to work. They just don't want the jobs. And trying to explain to clients that are recruiting that they've got to rethink how they do this, you know, and some, a lot of them are kind of coming around to it, but there's still people out there that go, no, we're going to do it our way, and, you know, someone's going to want to work soon, and then we're going to slot them into the boxes that we've got. They're never going to happen. You know, we've got to radically rethink what we're doing. I've got an interview coming up in a couple of weeks with Robert Richardson, who's the chief executive of the Institute of Hospitality.
Yeah.
And we were having a really great conversation about this, where he's trying to educate his members, people that run hospitality, you know, restaurants, hotels and things like that, that the hospitality industry is one of those industries where the working hours are not very
brutal.
Nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, chefs have to work weekends and all the rest, and people won't do it anymore. They just will not do it anymore. They'll much rather earn half the money doing something easier that doesn't take up their time. And he recognizes that, and he's trying to educate his members that they've got to be far more flexible in terms of how they employ people.
But it's very hard for restaurants, isn't it? Because you've got your team, and restaurants, in the very nature of it, are open from 11 in the morning till whatever time at night.
11 at night.
And, unless they have different chefs, so one for the day and one for the night, which would make sense.
But that's where it comes down. That's where it comes down to leadership and management, isn't it? Where you have to look at your organisation and go, right, how do we manage this? Either we have two teams of chefs, or we don't open as long. Little two options, you know. But just saying to someone, oh, you couldn't work for an extra 8 hours on Sunday night, could you? You know, even if they agree to do it once or twice, you can't run a business like that.
Well, people used to run businesses like that. Exactly. And there was no pause. And it was just like moving on. And I always say, anyway, as an entrepreneur, I always point the finger at myself. People don't just develop values and cultures when the organization gets big. You develop it as you start. The small business people become big businesses. So I always talk about, I write a lot, and I've done a video, which is on my YouTube channel. Yes, great. I have written some books. One of my books is Personal Development, called Aspiration to Transformation. And the other one is on leadership, but it's called The Spiritual Secrets of Executives and Entrepreneurs. And it talks about spiritual leadership. So I talk a lot about courageous leadership.
So where do you go with spiritual leadership?
Well, it's all the emotional stuff that you're not connecting to. It's all what makes us human that we ignore. And you think that when you get to the workplace, you can just park it. Is the factor of how love plays a part, even at work, loving thy neighbor. It still links all to the mindfulness, the win-win scenario. But I talk a lot as well, what you're saying, about courageous leadership. So the video I did 2 weeks ago was called Courage to Lead, and it's on my YouTube channel. And it really outlines what does that look like from the perspective of you who wants to lead. You have to be willing to lead in this climate. If your business is saying, I'm just going to go with the flow, what happens is eventually the change is going to happen, and you either be forced to comply or forced to give up. That's what's going to happen. So you have to say, how do I lead? And you have to find the courage to lead. And you have, first of all, have to start with self-leadership, and then you have to lead others. And you don't, human beings are not like you throw, like what you were saying with the salary. It's like for a dog, all you just need to do is say, fetch, and then you give them a reward, right? Put it in the mouth, and they do that. But and I think sometimes we've treated over the years human beings like that. Once I pay them, I pay your salary, just do my bidding. And now people are needing to be led, needing to be inspired, you know, with the different levels of leadership, how you get people to get give you results.
And they need to be listened to.
Yes.
That, for me, the biggest issue in leadership is not trying to manage everybody the same. It's about treating people as individuals and finding out what individuals want from their experience of working with you. And in my experience, that's normally quite different. Even in a bunch of people all doing the same job, they all have a slightly different reason for doing it, a slightly different way of doing it, a slightly different set of ambitions. So often, certainly back many years ago, we had loads of management memes, you know, like management by walking around, management by objectives, vision statements, and all these things. The problem with all of those is they were all developed in a boardroom somewhere and then foisted on people. And everybody said, buy into the vision, buy into the vision, buy into the vision, you know. But why would you buy into a vision if it's not your vision? It's somebody else's vision.
What's in it for me?
Exactly. Well, you know, you haven't asked me. You haven't asked me what I wanted to do or why I'm working here. You know, I'm working down on the shop floor. I've never even spoken to you. You're the managing director. I don't even know what you look like. And you've just told me to adopt your vision. Why should I? You know, that's not what I want. But that's how we've tried to manage people, by forcing them down these routes. Because managing people any other way is like herding cats. you know, people do what they want to do, no matter what you say to them. They have their own motives and they have their own motivations, and then they have their own way of doing things and their own reasons for doing things. And which is where you're exactly right, Patience, is the relationship eventually breaks down when they get to the point when they go, your vision isn't my vision, and therefore we're in conflict now, so I'm off.
And there's a lot of dealing with conflict that came out of follow, that came out of flexible, the work from home.
Yeah.
Well, if you are not getting on with your boss and you now have the opportunity to go back home, you know, some people have said, come back to the office. And they're like, why do we have to come back to the office? No way. I don't want to come back to you know. So, but it's all about, how can you find flexibility? How can you define what flexibility looks like? Like you said, it's a lot of effort. Relationships are a lot of work. We know that from our own relationships that we'd run outside of work.
Oh, just even working with my new husband. So, sharing an office.
So, yes, you can see. And that is where you even have a lot that is at stake, that you're looking at, that you need to work on. You know, a lot of compromising is needed.
Yeah.
It's now back to people saying a lot of human things have happened to us and we want to bring our whole self to work. And a lot of times people recognize now that actually 9 to 5 sometimes is 9 to 7, and that's the whole of my life. And then sometimes my boss will give me work that I have to chip into the weekend. So it's work balance that they were having.
Exactly.
And suddenly now you're now thinking, actually, look at that. I'm on medication for it. There is a lot of eye opening that has happened in this season. And what people need to do, what I'm saying and what you're saying, is actually every challenge poses an opportunity. And it is saying change is upon us. Growth is necessary. I always say I'm a growth and change catalyst, because I just help you to look at, you need to grow. What is not growing is dying. So in our world, growth and change is demanding something positive and something new and something probably that will be better for our world. It's worth fighting for in any organization. It's worth fighting for our young people. It's generally worth fighting for.
Absolutely. But as you're perfectly aware, at the point of the change is when it becomes hard, because we're trying to let go of the past, reinvent the future, and nobody's really sure where we're going. So, you know, this change point is grief.
Critical.
Yeah, but it's grief, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, because everyone's going, we've got to reinvent everything and, you know, we've got to throw it all out and start again or whatever. But it's tough, you know, but we have to go through this. We have to go through this because the world has changed. You know, you're talking, Patience, about, you know, the 24-hour-a-day workday, which has been brought on entirely by technology, email, WhatsApp, Zoom, social media. You can't get away from it, you know.
Yes.
I get messages at 11 o'clock at night, you know, from people going,
I had a message over the weekend, bank holiday, I wasn't very well either, saying, hi Jules, you haven't read my WhatsApp message.
Yeah.
Lovely lady, but it was bank holiday, and she said, I see you haven't read it. No. A, I'm ill, and B, it's my bank holiday.
Yeah.
But people expect us to be there all the time on WhatsApp.
Yeah,
especially.
Absolutely. And that's what technology has done. There's a book called Stolen Focus, and I've forgotten what it is, and it's what psychologists have used social media and the online space to do to people. And even the person that created the whole process of the ping, the notification, that really is part of what is causing lack of mental focus and mental health. So it's all, the change is necessary for the preservation of humanity, and species always somehow are forced to find a way to protect themselves.
Absolutely.
And even nature is sent to help us to do this. So COVID made a lot of people stop and think,
start walking,
and start all sorts of things, and they don't now want to give it up, because if you're now doing things like taking you off medication, why do you want to go to a place where you're on medication? It just doesn't. So there's a lot that people have to say. And I think I always say in the African thing, when you point one finger at somebody, the rest is pointing at you. I always say that. So a CEO is a human being. You know, take a look at what will make you happy. The story I started with is like, yes, the pastor does not want to go to church and is blaming the environment, but you are the pastor. Yeah. The mom said you.
That.
So you are the one that has to look at what culture did you create that is now a rod for your own back.
Absolutely.
You know, and fix it.
As always, Patience, it's a fantastic pleasure to talk to you. We've got to join the Channel Radio newsroom. Just before we go, give us a shout out for your website so that people can find out more about the work you do in transforming people.
Yes, yeah, so you can find me on www.aticoaching.com. That is my business website. And you can find me on LinkedIn. And like I said, I did a video for Courageous Leadership, which I do encourage everyone to watch. And that would be on my YouTube channel. You'll find Patience Ogunbono on there.
Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. Patience, thank you so much as always. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. We're now going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. When we come back, we're going to talk to Tim and Lisa. But for the moment, Patience Ogunbono, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
In the news.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
Something's happened.
Channel Radio news update.
Attention is being turned to who's going to replace.